You know, in the Gospel of Luke, as Jesus was about to institute the Lord's Supper, in chapter 22 and verse 15, Jesus said to his disciples, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." And today I share Jesus' sentiment and eagerness. Because since I arrived here a little over 2 months ago now, I've been looking forward to our first opportunity to share together in the Lord's Supper. And today we'll have that opportunity. You can see that in front of you. It's an opportunity for solemn remembrance and worship. And its spiritual significance, when properly understood, helps to bind us together as a body of Christ, uniting our hearts and our minds in our desire to honor and serve Christ. So what you may be happy to hear today, just don't tell me so, is that the message will not be long today. The ordinance of the Lord's Supper is a sermon in itself. So I don't want to divert our focus away from that, but I do want to take just a few minutes to remind us of why we come to the Lord's table regularly, and why it is so significant for us as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. To do that, I want to turn to a passage that you might not expect as we prepare to observe the Lord's Supper, but I believe it will be informative for us today as we ponder the mystery and the symbolism of the bread and the cup. So if you will, turn with me to the 6th chapter of the Gospel of John, beginning in verse 53. And as you're turning, would you stand as you were able in reverence for the reading of the inerrant and infallible Word of God? Again, we're in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 53, and we'll read through verse 58. Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. Even the parts of your word, Lord, that are hard for us to hear or hard to understand. Lord, we know that your word is inspired and is profitable for us. So, Lord, today, through your Holy Spirit, would you illuminate our minds to help us to see, illuminate our hearts to help us to receive what you would have for us today as we look to the Word of Life. Thank you, Father, for your Word. May we be transformed by it, by your grace. We pray in the almighty name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, when you just read this, it's a strange passage. And what I just found is when you read it out loud, it seems even stranger. And it's a strange teaching. It was hard for Jesus' hearers to bear it then. As in the following verses, many walked away from him and followed him no longer. They said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can bear it?" And it's hard for us today, too, because we still don't understand completely the mystery, the symbolism. But one thing we need to know for sure is that Jesus was not advocating cannibalism or vampirism, as many might mistakenly assume. In the church, we might be thinking, well, who would think that? Well, why do you think people walked away? He was talking about eating flesh and drinking blood, which were strictly forbidden by the law of Moses because they were practiced by other pagan religions as forms of idol worship. So I guess they thought that Jesus had just completely fallen off the wagon and gone to crazy town. But the thing is, Jesus came to fulfill the law. So he wouldn't have taught anything contrary to the law. So he was not advocating anything as odd as cannibalism or vampirism. And yet there is a meaning to his teaching. Because as we read the passage, we hear Jesus talking about the need for his disciples to eat his flesh and drink his blood. And it's not a passing reference. I mean, he says it several times. And as hard as it is to hear, it also strangely foreshadows exactly what he said and taught the disciples at the Last Supper. But there, the flesh and blood were consumed in symbol, not literally. So what do we make of it? What does it mean to do what we are about to do in just a few moments? So first, let's remember that the Lord's Supper is one of only two ordinances Jesus gave his church. He commanded his church to observe this sacred meal as an act of remembrance. As Baptists, we believe the Lord's Supper to be an ordinance and not a sacrament. Sacramentalism in other denominations teaches that somehow grace is imparted during the act or the ritual. But we need to know today that there is no saving power in taking the Lord's Supper. There is no forgiveness found in partaking of the bread and the cup. Jesus used the setting of the Passover meal to institute the Lord's Supper, but Passover was also an ordinance of the Lord. They were commanded to do the Passover as an ordinance to all your generations. Every year they were commanded to observe the Passover in order to remember their deliverance out of bondage to Egypt. See, they were not being liberated anew every year, but they were recalling what God had already done. So rather than imparting grace anew, an ordinance of the church looks back in remembrance of grace that has already been imparted to us. And that is why Jesus said, "Do this as often as you do it in remembrance of me." So the next question is, well, what are we remembering exactly? Because Jesus really doesn't give a whole lot of detail during the Last Supper. Why? Because it would have been assumed, because his disciples would have known the history. They would have known the law. So we need to look back and find, what are we remembering? Well, just prior to the passage in John 6, Jesus draws a parallel between himself and the manna that God provided in the wilderness. When the Israelites were roaming in the wilderness, there was no food. They had no way to cultivate grain to make their own bread. And so without some kind of sustenance, they would starve and die. So God provided manna, a bread-like substance that miraculously contained everything needed for nutrition. It came as a gift from heaven and kept the people alive. It came from God. See, the people were learning to rely on God alone to be sufficient for their needs and survival. They couldn't rely on their gardening skills or their hunting skills or their cooking and gathering skills. They couldn't rely on their own strength at all because there was nothing. They had to rely on God alone. And you know what? There was always enough. And God always provided. Well, Jesus says that the manna was a type or a symbol pointing to himself. "I am the living bread which came down from heaven," Jesus says. Just as in the wilderness, God has provided all that is needful for life in Jesus Christ. He alone is our sufficiency. We can't trust in our own righteousness or our own skill, our own abilities. He alone is our sufficiency. But unlike the manna that passed away, Jesus is eternal. And He is eternally sufficient. So He says that if any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. But He continues, and the bread that I will give is My flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And so that raises a second parallel that particularly the disciples would have picked up on in their setting. Because the bread Jesus offers is His flesh, He says, and He institutes the Lord's Supper at the Passover meal. Well, the Passover remembered the deliverance and redemption of the people of God from bondage in Egypt. Well, at Passover, each family had to offer a spotless lamb without blemish. They had to have it slaughtered ceremonially at the temple. And then each family was to prepare the flesh of the lamb at home. And the entire household would partake in consuming it as part of the meal. Friends, Jesus is the Lamb of God. He is the Passover lamb, slaughtered for our deliverance from slavery to sin and death. So just as with the Passover lamb, those redeemed by the blood of the Lamb of God still must gather regularly as a family to remember our deliverance by partaking of the meat of the Passover lamb. Guests and sojourners were not allowed to participate in the Passover in Israel. Now, they could participate in most aspects of life in Israel, but not in Passover. Why? Because only Israel was delivered from bondage. Only Israel was redeemed. Only those who are redeemed partake in remembering their redemption. This is why the Lord's Supper is reserved for those who profess a salvation experience with Jesus, because only the redeemed can remember their redemption. So with the bread, we remember that Jesus is the bread of life, the bread from heaven, our sole sufficiency, and everything we need for eternal life. We remember that in eating this bread of life, we have eternal life because Jesus is eternal. But we also remember through symbol that this bread is His flesh, the meat of God's Passover lamb, slaughtered to redeem us from the angel of death and to deliver us from bondage to sin. And Luke 22:19 says, and He took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is My body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of Me. See, we eat the bread to remember both the sacrifice that frees us and the bread of heaven that sustains us with eternal life. But what of the cup, the wine, the fruit of the vine? Well, Jesus answered that Himself also in our John 6 passage. He states the necessity of His followers to drink His blood. The Jewish Passover ritual already had a set menu by tradition, and part of that ritual including partaking of the fruit of the vine. So Jesus used what was readily available to make His point, and He took a cup of wine and said, this cup is the New Testament in My blood. What we need to understand is testament is another word for covenant in the Bible. Jesus was declaring the confirmation of the new covenant. Now, it was new in regard to the old, but it was not a new idea, because Jeremiah, Isaiah and Ezekiel all spoke expressly about the new covenant God would make. But the entirety of the Old Testament points toward the New Testament. Key provisions of which include the remission of sin and eternal life, which we got from the bread. But ancient covenants, including biblical covenants, they were cut and sealed with blood. Blood was like the signature and the seal that made a covenant binding and made it a binding agreement. And in Exodus 24, we find God confirming the covenant of the law at Sinai with Moses as his agent. And the Bible tells us that oxen were sacrificed for this ceremony and that Moses collected the blood in basins. And then half of the blood, if you read it closely, only half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. But in verse 8, we find that Moses took the rest of the blood and sprinkled it on the people. Boy, today we'd think, ugh, gross. But he sprinkled it on the people, saying, "Behold the blood of the covenant." See, the blood of the sacrifice was offered on the altar, but it had to be sprinkled also on the people in order to identify them with the sacrifice, to identify them as parties to the covenant being made. And Jesus at the Last Supper, in effect, he says, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." In other words, he echoes Moses in saying, "Behold the blood of the new covenant." Jesus' blood shed at the cross was offered to seal the covenant, but Jesus' disciples had to partake in the blood by symbol in order to identify them with Jesus' sacrifice and to identify them as parties of the covenant. See, we partake of the cup because it symbolizes the blood shed for us at Calvary in order to enact God's covenant, to forgive our sin and to grant us eternal life. We drink of the fruit of the vine in order to identify with the blood shed for us and to remember that by God's grace, we are parties of the covenant. Jesus said, "Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you." But unlike some denominations teach, the truth is that, as I said before, there is no life-giving power in the Lord's Supper we're about to observe. Remember, this is an ordinance of remembrance. Only the redeemed can remember their redemption. So if you're here or listening, and you're not saved, I implore you to seek the Lord. Allow the Holy Spirit to draw you to Jesus. Repent and trust Jesus and be saved. Be fed with the bread of heaven and allow the blood he shed to be sprinkled on you for the cleansing of sin. Find eternal life in Jesus. Because Jesus also said, "Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." See, you can have assurance of salvation and eternal life. You will find all that you need in Jesus. So seek him today. But for those of us today who are saved, however, we remember today that we have partaken of the body and the blood of Jesus. We have been fed by the bread of life, and Jesus is all we need. We have been sprinkled and washed by the blood of Jesus, and we've been sealed as parties of an everlasting covenant. Praise be to God. So we come to the table to remember the grace that we've been shown. We remember the bread from heaven. We remember the Lamb of God slain to save and deliver us. And we remember the blood shed for the remission of our sins under the new covenant graciously offered by God our Father. We remember all that and more. And in so doing, as Paul said, as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. See, we do this as a testimony to the world that we are redeemed. We proclaim to the world the means of our redemption, the broken body and the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. As I said before, the Lord's Supper is a sermon unto itself. And so with all this in mind, with our minds refreshed as to what it is we are remembering, let all the redeemed of the Lord say so as we come to this table together. So as the deacons come and prepare to serve, let me remind you that this is not Hatfield First Baptist table. It's the Lord's table. The Lord welcomes all to his table who have earnestly repented and trusted Christ for salvation. So if you are redeemed today, then you are welcome to partake and remember your redemption, whether or not you are a member here. We do respectfully ask that if you're not saved, or if you're not sure that you are saved, then for the good of your own souls, as the Bible teaches, please do not partake, but rather spend this time in prayer seeking the Lord for salvation. Now I want to go over this. Out of respect for the pandemic and out of an abundance of caution, we'll serve somewhat differently today than you're accustomed to. Our deacons, they're going to remain up front with the trays of the bread and the juice. And we ask that all who are able to, in an orderly fashion, come forward and be served. But don't reach into the dishes, because as you've seen, the deacons have sanitized their hands and will be wearing food service gloves. And they will serve each of you a piece of bread and a cup. And we would ask that you carry them back to your seat and wait till all are served so that we may partake together as the body of Christ. But now if you're unable, physically unable to come forward, simply signal the deacons and they will come to you and serve you. And once everyone is served, I'll lead us in the Lord's Supper together. Now this is a holy time of worship, a time for solemn reflection. So it's a little bit different from a normal Sunday celebration. And we'll conclude differently than usual too. Mark's gospel tells us that after the Lord's Supper, they sang a hymn and then departed to the Mount of Olives. So after we've all partaken of the Lord's Supper, we will sing a hymn. And that hymn will be our dismissal as we leave the sanctuary to return to the world. So let us pray and then we'll begin to serve.